Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNRadio.com/Behind the Badge.
Our next guest should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I don't understand why his band hasn't been nominated, but we'll talk about that in a second. They have a brand new Christmas album. His band, REO Speedwagon, will be in town this Saturday night at the Genesee Theater in Waukegan. Please welcome from the city of Oak Lawn through Brother Rice High School, it's our good friend, Kevin Cronin. How are you, buddy?
I'm good, Pete. How are you, man? I'm a little bit dismayed about the soybean futures that I just heard about. But other than that, I'm glad to hear the traffic is light on the on Lakeshore Drive. So that kind of balances it out.
You know what? Most guests, when they're on hold, wouldn't understand that. You, a guy who grew up in Oak Lawn, of course you're going to get it because you listened to WGN growing up. And Orion was probably on the radio when you were growing up.
You know, it's actually a lot of fun to hear all the, you know, the Dan Ryan and the Edens and all those, you know, all those familiar terms that, you know, because I mean, I live in LA now, but as you know, I'm still a Chicago boy, so it's good to hear all that familiar you know, talk about the merchandise. I used to work at the merchandise mart, and you know, so
what did you do there?
I had a summer job. It was like for about a week every year. It might have been over the Christmas break. There was a big some sort of a trade show there, and we would get these big pallets of the books that were like the program for this big event, and they were pretty thick, and we would have to just, you know, just schlep them around. And I can't remember what we did, but it was something about the program for I think it was a furniture show or something. Who knows? But but yeah, I remember the mart, man. All those Chicago landmark places are that warms my heart to hear about it. You know.
Well, when I go back to Peoria, where I grew up, I always drive past the old houses, and I worked just about everywhere in Peoria. I worked at a dry cleaners, Ideal Troy Dry Cleaners, Dixon's Fish Market. Do you drive past the old places when you come to town?
Oh yeah, and you should know next time you go back to Peoria that Big Al's moved. It's no longer in the lobby of the hotel.
Yes, it did.
That used to be trouble. You know, the tour bus would pull up, and we'd be staying at the hotel, and between the bus and the front desk is Big Al's, and it was just, you know, it was just too much temptation for young males to pass up. But yeah, I mean, you know, my parents still live in the same house in Oak Lawn where I grew up. We actually became friendly with Dave Heilman, who was the mayor of Oak Lawn at the time. Great young guy, and he actually changed the name of their street to Ted and Millie Cronin Way. You know, so it's. So when I go home,
I
not only visit my folks, but, you know, I walk down those. I know every crack in the sidewalks in that neighborhood, you know. But, yeah, I walk by my old girlfriend's house like I used to in seventh grade, you know. It's the same thing. Of course, now I'm walking my mom through the streets, you know, in the wheelchair, which I enjoy. I take her out every time I come home, and we, you know, walk through the neighborhood and, you know, get some fresh air. And it's You know, things, the circumstances change, but it's nice being able to walk down the same streets. And you know what I'm saying?
God bless them, man. I that they're still alive and still kicking. I love it. And when you're walking around Oak Lawn, do you stop by Palermo's, or what was the music shop that you still go to when you come to town? What was the name of that?
Yeah, Rossi Music.
Rossi Music. That's right.
It's still there. I was a guitar teacher there in the late '60s, and you know, that's where the you know, the Beatles sheet music would come in, man. And I would just devour it. Anything Beatles was just you know, we would all sit around waiting for the new single to come out, or the new and sometimes back in those days things were so crazy with the Beatles that sometimes the sheet music would come in before the record was released. And I'll never forget the sheet music for Please Please Me came in, and I'd never heard the song. So I just looked at the sheet music and kind of, you know, in my own way, figured out the song, but when the record came out, it was nothing like what I had done. And you know, strangely, I kind of preferred my version, but what's weird is that experience is what kind of gave me the idea that I should try writing my own songs. So the Beatles are indirectly responsible for that as well as everything else that I've ever done in my life. But yeah, Rossi music. And, you know, honestly, Pete, you know, my pizza hasn't arrived yet, and I'm a little miffed. You know, maybe it's a daylight savings time thing. I don't know. But
I don't know if they send frozen pizzas, because I've sent Tony at Palermo's a text and I told him that you were going to be on the show today. And of course, you always bring it up because you love their pie. I don't know if they send frozen pizza, but he said anytime you come to town, there's always pizza waiting.
I was expecting he was going to deliver, you know, so I'd be sitting here, you know, but it's all right. I understand.
We're talking with Kevin Cronin from REO Speedwagon. No matter how big you are, I mean, this happens with JY from Styx. When we have JY in the studio, there's always a person that'll send a text message in. I remember when you played a high school dance, or is there something that people remind you of when REO was just first starting out? Because you joined, what, in 72?
Yeah. I mean, I had a moment in my life where I was set up kind of on a blind date, but not exactly a blind date with this is a true story, with Kim Basinger. And I don't know if I've ever mentioned this on the air, but we had personal assistants who were friends, and I had just gone through a divorce. This is back in 87, 88. She had just gone through a divorce, so they kind of set us up. And, you know, and we hung out a little bit. And Kim's thing was, anytime someone comes up to me and says, "Do you remember when?" She goes, "I run." I run to get out of there, because you can't, you know— someone's going to remember. You're going to remember if you met Kim Basinger, you're going to remember everything that happened in that meeting. But Kim might not remember every single person that's ever met her.
Of course,
you know what I'm saying? So,
right? Yes.
So I learned that. That was the one thing I took from my short relationship with Kim.
And how did the date go? Not so well.
You know, we actually went out a few times. You know, she would come over to the house. This one I lived in Encino, and you know, we would just kind of hang out. But what happened was, one night I went, I was going to meet Kim at a restaurant in Beverly Hills. There was a band playing there, a jazz group playing there that we wanted to see, and I had just also met my wife, Lisa, I was kind of, you know, I was dating. I was single. And I met Lisa, and I really kind of fell for her, you know, but I'm also seeing Kim Basinger. So it's like, so this is a true story. Lisa calls me up, and we were talking. She said, "Well, what are you doing Saturday night?" And I go, "Well, I'm going to this jazz place in Beverly Hills, you know." She goes, "Oh, what's it called?" I told her what it's called. She goes, "Oh, well, maybe I'll stop in and meet you." I'm like, "Okay." So basically, I had set myself up for a head-on collision between, you know, either, you know, between Kim Basinger,
I love it,
who I you know, beautiful, a sweet person, kind of a country girl, you know, so, and then
sure,
I'm kind of a city guy, so. But all right. I mean, do we have time for this story, or do you need to go to a break or something?
Let me take a quick break and we'll tease it with that. But
okay,
what a confidence booster for your wife, Lisa, that you chose her over Kim Basinger.
From time to time, I remind her of that.
I love it. Kevin Cronin, hold on a second. They'll be at the Genesee Theater this coming Friday. You can go to GeneseeTheater.com for ticket information. More with Kevin coming up next. Pete McMurray in for John Williams, 720 WGN. 720 WGN on the phone with us, the lead singer of REO Speedwagon. They'll be at the Genesee Theater on Friday. And I wanted you to finish the story where you invited your wife to a date that you were having with Kim Basinger. So they're both showing up.
Well, she wasn't my wife yet.
Right.
So she's my future wife. And well, what it was even weirder, because, you know, going out with Kim Basinger, especially at that time, this was right around when she was in Batman, and she was just extremely recognizable, extremely beautiful, and it was a little intimidating. And I remember, you know, we pulled up to the into the parking lot of this jazz place we were going, and I'm walking along with Kim, and all of a sudden, out of the shadows, this guy like jumps up and starts, you know, literally dancing around like a freaking, you know, gorilla or something, just like jumping around making monkey moves in front of us, right? And I'm thinking, and my mind is racing. I'm thinking, wait a minute,
who is this?
Kim Basinger. I need to protect her, you know. And you know, that's not, you know, I mean, I'm a big muscular athletic guy, as you know.
Uh-huh.
So my first instinct is to fight, right? Not really.
Uh-uh.
But I'm like, I'm with Kim Basinger. I'm like, I can't like run, you know. So,
but you are from Oak Lawn, so you got fighting in your blood.
I'm a Southside guy,
right?
But yeah, so I kind of, you know, put my arm out, you know, to kind of gesture Kim to stand back, and I move forward to like see what's going on with this guy, and then all of a sudden I realize that it's Richard Gere. And if you remember, Richard Gere and Kim had this kind of famous relationship that kind of broke up.
Oh, yeah.
And so now I'm standing in between Kim Basinger, it was just like, and I realized that this is not the way I want to live my life, you know, with crazy Hollywood. I'm a Southside guy, and so it was good that happened. And so we all went into the jazz place, and there was a group of people at this table, and Lisa showed up, and I felt the same vibe to her that I felt when I met her before. I just felt this instant thing, and yeah, I ended up with Lisa, and it was probably the smartest thing I ever did.
How many years you've been married to Lisa?
Lisa and I have been together since 1989.
Wow.
We got married in 1992, so we celebrated our 25th wedding anniversary this past April 25th. So, you know, I'm a lucky guy. We have three beautiful children together, and
good for you. I gotta ask you about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I don't mean to bring it up every time you're on the show, but we've seen Chicago go in. We've seen Cheap Trick go in. We need to see Styx and REO Speedwagon go in. Who makes those decisions?
Yeah, you know what? Someone actually came up with the concept of Styx and REO Speedwagon being inducted together, which I've never heard of that before, but there's such a deep connection between our bands. You know, we just love touring with Styx. We toured with them this past summer, and we just didn't have time to do enough shows with them to scratch the itch. So we're gonna putting it back together this spring, and we're gonna be doing, I guess, about 20 or so more shows with Styx and Don Felder coming up in March and April of 2018. So
I love that.
I love it too. I mean, we just, you know, Tommy and JY and I have known each other for a long time, and the whole Styx band, you know, Ricky Phillips, Lawrence Gowan, you know,
sure.
they're such good guys, and our bands, you know, it's like we're one big band when we tour together. So it's really, at this point in time, it's like, you know, if I'm going to be away from home, if I'm going to be, you know, sleeping in a different hotel every night and being in a different city every night, it's nice to be doing it with people that we love and get along with well.
I love seeing you guys in concert. I've probably seen you over a dozen times, and you're playing at the Genesee Theater on Friday. You have a Christmas album out. Now, why the Christmas album?
Well, here's the beauty of it. With the Christmas album was originally released, I don't know what, maybe 6 years ago, something like that, and it came out You know, we've been with Epic Records since the very beginning, mm-hmm. and somehow, you know, Epic is part of a Columbia Sony thing, and I think our Christmas record kind of got lost in the shuffle of Johnny Mathis and Mariah Carey and who else, you know, who knows
ah,
who.
Ah, okay.
You know, so it just, I don't think very many people even realized that it was released. And but the truth is that we, you know, we didn't like just go in the studio, sing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and go home. You know, we really, I mean, like, we made a real REO Speedwagon album, and our producer Joe Vanelli just got into it and, you know, arranged this beautiful orchestration. And we really, I mean, our Christmas album, it's a real REO Speedwagon album.
Well,
it rocks too.
And
then, yeah, it rocks. And we've got this, and the real impetus for re-releasing it this year was the song I Believe in Santa Claus, which Bruce and I wrote, and the lyric just is, it's just a real important lyric to me, and I felt like it got kind of ignored. So we redid that song, and we turned it into more of an REO Speedwagon song. It's got this great guitar work that Dave did, and then kind of rocked it up a little bit.
You did rock it up.
So, you know, Christmas comes around every year, so it gives us an opportunity to add a couple songs and switch things around. And, Not So Silent Night Without Christmas with REO Speedwagon. Coming out on Rhino Records, and we're really proud of the latest version of it. Thank you for mentioning it, Pete. I appreciate that.
GenesseeTheater.com for tickets in town on Friday. Kev, you know I love you, and happy Thanksgiving.
Hey, you too, Pete. We'll see you soon, my man.
All right, I hope so. Thanks, man. It's 720 WGN.